humbleness of mind. If you were to study the Greek, which I did for a number of years, and you got all your resources and looked it all up, you would discover that in the Greek it means being humble in your mind. Isn't that amazing? Right? So 2 years to work that out. Right? Humbleness of mind means to be humble in your mind. But that does mean something significant, and that is, it's actually something that is within your being and your attitude towards things. It is very easy to have the actions of humility, and you go through the process, so people look at you and go, what a humble person. But inside, you're very far from being humble. There's a lot of things going on inside where you are proud. You are very different to what you are portraying in your actions. And so what we see here is God is interested not just in how we act, but He's interested in the attitude that produces those actions, and He wants us to be humble within our mind. Obviously, to do this, it goes without saying we need to put off pride. You see, these are polar opposites. You have pride on one end and you have humility on the other. And so we need to put off pride and those proud attitudes and thoughts, and we are to replace it with humility. Now, we could just go home now that we've learnt that, or we can maybe expand on it and see how does this act out in everyday life. What does it look like? If I put someone up here and said, now here is a perfect example of humbleness of mind, and I get a volunteer to say, here is someone who is a good example of not being humble in mind, what is the difference? How do we see the difference? Well, I'm not going to get anyone to come up here and be the example of what it isn't. But we can certainly see the perfect example of what it looks like. And so that's what we first consider, the greatest example of humility, and that is the Lord Jesus, obviously. And there are lots of passages that we could go to, but I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 2, because we see it in its most perfect picture. Now here, our word, humbleness of mind, is translated lowliness of mind. Means the same thing. Let's have a look at verse 2 when the Apostle Paul builds up to our example. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we're to have the same mind, and we're going to discover what that is as we go on. He says then in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That is a product of being proud. And so if you're proud, there's going to be strife and you're going to see glory that is completely empty. But instead of doing that, it says, but in lowliness of mind, there's our word, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every one of his own, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so here we have the exhortation that in lowliness of mind, which is the opposite of being proud, we are told that we are to be humble and think of others instead of ourselves. And then we're told, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so here we are given, told that this is the example of humility, the Lord Jesus, the mind that we're to have. And it goes on to say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but despite all this, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so what Paul is showing us here, as he's inspired by God, he says, Jesus, being in the form of God and took nothing away from God being equal with him, he is God the Son, despite all of this, he was humble in his mind, even as God. God the Son. And because of that, he laid aside his glory and all the worship that he was enjoying there in heaven. And despite that, he became a man. And not only a man, as a man, he served others. And as a man, he not only served others, but he became obedient unto death. He allowed himself to be humiliated in such a terrible way for the sake of others. This is the example of humility or humbleness of mind. As we're told there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind that we're to be putting on, where we're not proud. We don't think people are there to serve us. We're not there thinking everyone should listen to us and obey us and do what we think, but we think others are better than ourselves. And we're there to serve others and consider them. Now, if we're wanting a find a verse that shows us how this is played out in everyday life, I'd like you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Because here we see the contrast of how someone acts when they are humble as opposed to when they are proud. And it has a very scary word that is often nearly considered a swear word amongst Christians. All right? Let's try and see where it is. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, here it is, submit. Oh, that's a scary word, isn't it? That's like it's nearly a swear word to some. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject or submit one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so here God's word shows that the product of humility is submission. If we are humble in our mind, we are going to be willing to submit to others. The younger will submit to the elders. Or, it says there, will submit to one another, where you consider others better than yourselves. When you're in an area where there are people in a position where you are to submit to, you're willing to do that as well. You see, in Colossians, we are told to put on humility like a coat. That's what I was explaining in the weeks prior. Here, Peter says to be clothed with humility. Same principle. And so we get from 1 Peter 5, verse 5, the sign of humility is submission. Submission means to place yourself under. That's all it means. You might have someone here, and instead of saying, I want to be above, telling them, I will place myself under them and be submissive to them. And you can be very sure this will only come if there is humbleness of mind. All right? If you want to be like Christ, well, then you need to be humble in your mind. And have you ever stopped to realize that the most basic and probably the most important way that humbleness of mind, where you are like Christ, is shown in how you are willing to submit to others? You know, we say, well, what does it look like to be Christ-like? Or you say, well, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do this, you wouldn't act like that, you wouldn't go there, you wouldn't do smoke this or whatever it may be, and you do this, this. Have you ever thought, oh, to be Christ-like is to submit? You look at Christ and his life, he has submitted. He submitted to the Father's will and came to earth. All throughout his ministry, he submitted to his Father's will. He's not here to do his own will, he's here to do the will of his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. He submitted to his Father in every way. But that was just the beginning. We know that he submitted to his parents despite being God in the flesh. Now that is humility of mind. He submitted to the authorities of his day, even though he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's humility of mind. He submitted to others. He became a servant to all, not being served. And when it came to the Romans, where he was their creator, he allowed himself to be submitted, to be crucified and placed on that cross. He submitted to everybody. His whole life was one of submission. And that was due to his humility. He was willing to submit to others in all different ways. He is the perfect example of humility. And we're told to have this mind, the mind of Christ, a mind of submission. Now, you know just as well as I do that that doesn't come natural, does it? There is a struggle. And this leads on to what is my second point, and that is the conflict for submission. Why is it so hard to submit to others? Well, it's good for us to understand that this word submit, there in 1 Peter particularly, the word submit is in what we call the passive. That means it is something that you do to yourself, all right? You are to place yourself under the authority of those who God says you are to do so. If you are forced to submit, that is not Christ-like submission. We need to understand that. If you are broken down to the point where you finally say, okay, I submit, that is not Christ-like submission. Even if you do it reluctantly with a bad attitude, that is not humility of mind, and that is not Christ-like submission. We're to have an attitude where we choose to place ourselves under the authority of others. And that's where the conflict for submission begins and ends, and why there is such a problem. We discover from God's word that this type of submission is due to being spirit-controlled. I want you to turn over to Ephesians, would you please? Ephesians chapter 5. Here we're told what will be the product of someone who is spirit-filled and controlled. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, right? But be filled with the Spirit." This is the Spirit of God. So that the Spirit has control over you so that you act in a certain way when God's Spirit is in control of you. And then Paul goes on to tell us various things that will be produced when someone is spirit-controlled. Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." There will be a joyful heart of melody and singing to the Lord when you're spirit-filled and spirit-controlled. Also, verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So there will be an attitude of thankfulness. Are you thankful? That should be a product of being spirit-controlled. If you're not thankful for anything, I suspect you're not spirit-controlled. But then it also says in verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Submission is a result of being controlled by the Spirit of God. He will produce a willingness to submit yourself to others. Now, what's the opposite to being controlled by the Spirit of God? It is being controlled by the sinful flesh. And here lies the conflict with each one of us. The flesh and the spirit are always against each other. And as the spirit wants to lead us to be various things, and one of them is to have humbleness of mind so that we submit to others, you can be sure that the flesh is telling us or trying to get us to do the complete opposite, and that is to rebel, to refuse to submit. It doesn't come naturally. It's the fruit of God's Spirit as you allow Him to control you instead of letting the flesh control you. And you know, this is a very practical way for you to work out if you are truly controlled by the Spirit of God or if you're controlled by your sinful flesh. Do you submit to others? Those who God tells you to submit to in your life, do you voluntarily place yourself under? Where you have an attitude where you're willing to do this because this is how the Spirit of God is leading you, because as you're being led and you desire to please the Lord. Or do you rebel against those who God says to submit to? Do you refuse to place yourself under the authority of those who God says you should be placing yourself unto? Well, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter how many chapters in the Bible you read every day. It doesn't matter how long you pray for every day. It doesn't matter how many church services you attend every week. If you refuse to submit to those who God has clearly said you should be submitting to, then you are not like Christ. Please understand that. We can often think, well, I'm reading 10 chapters a day, I'm praying for 30 minutes, and I go to everything. I am doing what God wants, but you are not Christ-like. You don't have the mind of Christ if you are refusing to submit where God says you should. You are not being controlled by the Spirit of God. Your flesh has a grip on you and not allowing you to act the way God wants you to act. And God has a problem with you because He says in 1 Peter 5:5, "For God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." He will resist the proud who refuse to submit, where He says to submit. That resist is a term for battle. He will put Himself against in array and fight against those who are proud and refusing to submit. But He will give help to those who are humble in their mind, and it's seen in their life. That's why it says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to together in the fear of God. Fear God if you're not doing this, because God has a problem with you. And so, what we see here, if the Spirit controls us, we will submit ourselves to one another. If the flesh controls us, well then we will refuse to submit ourselves to anyone. And this is where the conflict for submission lies, in the war between the Spirit and the flesh. And so, let me ask you this. You don't have to answer it out loud. Feel free if you want to, though. All right? Are you known as someone who submits to authority and submits to others? When people talk about you, even though we shouldn't, would they say they are such a submissive person? Or do they say they are a rebel? They don't like submitting to anybody. They don't like being told by anyone what to do. How would people perceive you by your attitude and then seen in your actions? Are you known as someone who submits or known as someone who rebels and cannot be told what to do? Well, understand, Jesus was not a rebel. We're told to have the mind of Christ, and as I explained, He submitted to everybody. The Father, His family, the government, to all. as an example of how we should. And so we have seen the perfect example, Jesus. We have seen why we have such a problem sometimes, because it depends who is in control of us, the Spirit of God or our sinful flesh. And so then that takes us to the nitty-gritty of everyday life, in that how do we apply this? What are the areas where God wants us to be submissive? Well, I don't think you'll get a prize if you can guess these, because most of us are aware of them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, because if you were to read ahead, it deals with most of these things anyway in Colossians. So we're going to have some concentration on particular areas. But there are five main areas from God's word we see he expects us to submit ourselves to others. And the first one is submission to God. That's where it all begins. In 1 Peter 5, after saying that we are to submit ourselves to one another, it says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Submission to God is the most important of all. If you're not submissive to God, you're not going to be submissive to anybody. Why do you think a rebellious young person refuses to obey their parents and generally causes trouble at school and is a troublemaker in the youth group? Wherever they go, wherever there is authority, why is it that they seem to cause problems? It's because they are rebelling against God himself. When a person, young person though, submits to God, you see submission in all the areas. You know, submitting to God is saying, "God, I accept that you are the one in charge. I place myself under your lordship, and I will do what you want." I know for me, to my shame, I was a rebellious teenager. I knew what God wanted me to do. I knew how he wanted me to live. But I wanted to live how I wanted to. And so, for years, it was like I shook my fist at God and said, "God, leave me alone. I'm going to live how I want." And that was seen in every other area where God expected me to submit as well, from school to home to youth group to wherever, even the government. It affected every way. But I tell you that this, the day I bowed my knee and my heart and my will to God, and I confessed my sin of rebellion, and I told the Lord that I submit to him and his word, and I'll do what he wants, I'll go where he wants, I'll be what he wants, I surrender, everything changed. My attitude towards others and authority changed. My attitude towards God and his word changed. Instead of trying to avoid God's word because I don't want to hear something else I'm meant to be doing, I would search out God's word to find what his will was. And when I found out that God wanted me to do such and such, I would happily do it, because now I wanted to please him with a submissive heart. Things change altogether, and it starts with submission to God. Can I ask you, if the Bible says something is wrong that you're doing, do you change? Or you fob it off, or you try and twist it so it doesn't seem to apply to you, just everyone else? Or do you humbly admit, "God, I've been doing the wrong thing," and you change? Many Christians know what God wants them to be doing. They feel the Spirit of God convicting them regularly. But they refuse to obey God because they want to live how they want. They are not submissive to his authority in their life. Have you got to that place where you placed yourself under his authority? Say, "God, I will submit to you." You know, sometimes this submission to God is a daily thing as well. Every time we're tempted, "God, you've got to work out, do I do what God wants and submit to him, or will I do what I want today?" But there needs to be that submission to God. But let's be very clear that when there is that submission to God, there is a willingness to submit in the other areas where God says, I want you to submit. Submission to God will extend to all ordained authorities in our life. Don't say that you're submitting to God if you're not willing and you're not submitting to the other areas where God says, I want you to live. That is deceiving yourself. Oh, I submit to God, I just don't submit to anybody else. That is not Christ-minded living. We know that there's a need to submit in the home. If you look there in Colossians, I'll give you a tip what we're looking at in the next few weeks. Verse 18, it looks at it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. God says there is a need for submission of the wife to her husband. Verse 19, well, husbands, love your wives, and that comes as you submit yourself to God. There is a need for the husband, the head of the home, to submit himself to God. Then it goes on in different areas as well. Servants, or verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. And so here we know from God's word that God expects submission in the home. Yet when people are walking in the flesh, they won't want to submit in that area. And you'll have a husband who's selfish, and it'll be manifested in all different ways, and everyone in the family will be miserable because dad or the husband is not submitting to God. And there's problems. Or if it's the wife who is walking in the flesh, she won't submit to her husband. She will actually, she sees the husband, instead of submitting, placing oneself under his authority, she will want to be the one in authority. And so she will act in a manner that undermines his authority, so she gets what she wants, and the children will go to her to get permission because she's the one in charge instead of the father. And that comes with a miserable home. If the children are walking in the flesh, well, then they won't be told as either. Do you have trouble in your home at the moment? Lots of arguments, lots of problems, certainly not the way that God intended a family to be. Well, I'll guarantee somebody or everybody is not having the mind of Christ, walking in humility and willing to submit. Someone is not doing what God wants. And so there's submission in the home. Also, we know that God wants submission in the church. God makes it clear that there are order of leadership within the church. We're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that rule over you and submit yourselves. That's talking about church folk in a church setting. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Also, as we saw there in Peter, it says, yea, of all of you be subject one to another. There needs to be an air or a degree of submission in the local church. Now, how that's seen and how it is played out can be seen and played out in all different areas. And let me just give you one, which I can't say this is Bible, but this is something that I've noticed over the years. One very public way that you can say, hey, I'm willing to submit to the leadership of this church, and I want this to be my family, and I want to serve, not just be served, and I want to get in the yoke and work together, is simply by being a member. Ooh, scary word, all right? You know, I don't talk about membership much because I certainly don't want anyone to feel guilty
or guilt-ridden to do it. But please be sure that membership isn't like a secret society where you have to be asked to be a member. All right? It's not about that. If I haven't asked you, don't think it's because I don't want you to be a member. It's because I want people to do it of themselves. What I have learned over the years after attending a number of churches is that there are all different reasons why people don't become a member. And it can vary from you think you have to be asked, so you don't do it. Two, you don't even think about it, all right? You don't even think it's a reason. Now, I don't mind that. And there are probably some other very good reasons why people don't, which I don't know of. But I do know sometimes it's because of an unwillingness to submit. And that's when God has a problem. I know there are some people I've met over the years that don't like the thought of having to submit to the church leadership. And so they think, well, if I don't become a member, I don't have to do it. And so the reasoning for not becoming a member all of a sudden becomes a bad reason. Because we know God says we are to submit. Some don't want to be a member because they don't want to commit to serving others on a regular basis. If I don't become a member, I'm disqualified, so I don't have to serve on a regular basis. That's another bad reason for doing that. For me, I just see it as a very good way of publicly acknowledging this is my church home, my church family. And I want to serve you, not just be served. And I want to publicly acknowledge that I am happy to submit to God's ordained authority here. And so think about that. If you've got good reasons why, well, I'm happy with that. But if it's due to a wrong reason, can I ask you at least to pray to God and ask Him if it's a good reason or not? And if you want to become a member, come and see me. I'm more than happy to talk to you. It is not a secret society. But that's just three of them. There's two more areas. There is the government, and then also there are masters, those who we are servants to in the world, which we won't look at because we do look at them in the next few weeks. But let me finish by asking you this. Does the way that you submit to the Lord in your family, in the church, to the government, and in your workplace reveal a person who is spirit-controlled? And this produces Christ-like humility in a willingness to submit to others. Do you see that? Or does it reveal a person who is controlled by the flesh and very proud and does not want to submit to anybody? Well, we see here we're to put off pride and put on humbleness of mind, which produces humble words and humble actions. I trust we will allow the Spirit of God to be the one who teaches us where we stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We have that perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we sing what a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. And we know that He would not have been our Savior if He wasn't willing to put us before Himself. I pray that we would do the same to one another and have the same love and mind of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.